Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this June 29th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we are going to welcome in our friend Jasmine Carbajal, 4-H Associate Educator with Marathon and Wood Counties. Looking forward to talking with Jasmine and looking forward to talking with all of you. We have some of our favorite people in studio right now from the Arts Council, our good friend, Sally Kistner.
Good morning.
Good to see you, Sally. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
We also want to welcome our good friend, Eric Britnocker from the PAC. Eric, always good to see you.
Hi.
Thanks for being here, man. And we have a friend, Mary Schultzen from Focus. Mary, good to see you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I appreciate the time. And we'll get to why Mary's with us today in a moment, although Mary doesn't need a reason. She could be here anytime she wants. And we'll always talk to our friends at Focus. But Sally, if you don't mind, let's jump right into the headline here. Kids from Wisconsin.
Kids from Wisconsin, July 10th, Monday. The show will be at 7 p.m., but we also have a bunch of other stuff going on. The show tickets are $17, and you can get them through the Arts Council, 715-424-2787. Stop by and see us at 1040 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. We're open 10 to 2:30 Monday through Thursday, except we're closed Monday and Tuesday next week. Mm.
Sally, for those that don't know, can we give them a little bit of a rundown on what Kids from Wisconsin is?
You bet. Kids from Wisconsin actually is made up of students throughout the entire state, ages 15 to 20, and they do auditions in February, and they have a two different positions. You can play either singer, dancer, or band member. And they conduct these auditions. It's quite the process they go through, so it's really the cream of the crop of kids from Wisconsin. And then they perform. They go to a training camp that's very intense, and they learn the performance that they will put on for the entire summer.
Every year I try out for this and I'm told I'm too old. And I mean, I don't begrudge them that, but to be honest, the kids are a lot more talented anyway, so it makes a lot more sense. It's such a fun event. This is one of those ones that we look forward to every year. I know that we got a lot of people, especially our Midwesterners, that love supporting our locals. And I think that there's a really unique and cool part of that. But one of the things that I've really enjoyed in doing this job and talking with a lot of locals is the people that have their kids involved in this and the way that they speak about the experience and how they highlight it. And they can't wait to bring it up. And then there's the people that come to the shows that cannot stop raving about these kids, raving about how this all went. I cannot encourage you enough to take and attend this show. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's also going to be entertaining and also heartfelt. There's a meaning behind this. There's something very important that ties into this as well. And it's part of the reason why we have Mary Schultz with us from Focus. And Mary, if you don't mind me putting you on the spot, I mean asking you questions. thank you for being here again, Mary. Appreciate the time. Mary, how is Focus involved with this?
Well, so the kids decided that they wanted to do something more than just the show in each of the towns that they came to. And so they decided that they wanted to do some sort of a food drive to go along and help those that are struggling with food insecurities. And so this year they have a theme called From Stage to Table. And so they are collecting food throughout the day that they will be there. So starting at noon on Monday, they will have a bus and our Focus truck will be there collecting donations from people in town that would like to help donate to help with food insecurities in our town. And so then also during the 4 o'clock show, you know, so it'll be open until 7:30 when then we'll take the truck back to Focus. So it's a way of them to give back to the community that they are performing in and where some of the kids are from. So,
you know, during the pandemic, but even still on our morning show, we do these good stories of the day. And one of the things that stood out to me was how many of them involved like a 10 or an 11 year old starting a lemonade stand and putting all that money to their local humane society or something. We've seen these kind of stories. It's not surprising to hear that kids thought of this.
Oh, right. Exactly.
But it hits you, right? It still feels like I refuse to normalize this. It is amazing to me that these kids have these thoughts, have these ideas, and that they want. It's not enough to just say it or to tell their parents about it. They want to put it to work. They want to put it to action.
Exactly. And I think they see the needs of their fellow citizens and their fellow classmates, and they see what these kids are struggling with and the families are struggling with, and they want to help. in whatever way they can. And maybe they can't do it personally, but if they get the word out, other people can help as well.
Mary, as long as I have you here, those of us that ain't little kids, but kids at heart maybe, or just didn't grow up very well, or mature-wise, how can we help with Focus? How can we donate to Focus? What are things that we can keep in mind?
So first of all, understand that Focus has three programs that we umbrella. Okay, one is our food pantry. One is our meal program on Thursday nights, and then the other is our backpack program. So we try to service all aspects of our community that we can. And so with that in mind, we use a lot of different kinds of foods, whether it's for the pantry where mm-hmm. people come and pick up grocery supplies, or we to provide a meal for people on Thursday nights, or the backpack program. So we do have a list of certain things that we really can use that are very hard to come by and getting harder to come by mm-hmm. as food insecurities in the nation is tougher. Mm-hmm. So I kind of have a little bit of a list that would be helpful, like peanut butter and jelly. Sounds like, why would you need that? But that is something that families use as a staple. Mm. And so peanut butter and jelly is hard to come by, especially grape jelly. So that's a huge need that we have. Mm-hmm. Any kind of pasta sauce, because no matter if they're whatever nationality, it seems like pasta sauce is...
Always.
Everybody loves pasta sauce. So pastas other than spaghetti, we seem to get a lot of the long spaghetti, but the other kind of pastas that all different nationalities tend to use.
Journalistically, I should mention I am Italian. I'm always going to be promoting marinara. Marinara, always.
There you
always.
Go.
So
there
I just put that out there.
That's all right. But then we also need things like hygiene items are very hard to come by. We have a limited budget for hygiene items, but it is something that people really need. So things like dish soap, which they can't use food share for, deodorant, shampoo, those kinds of things are really, really needed. Even some cleaning supplies that we can give out because they cannot use food share for that. So those kinds of things are very, very helpful for us to be able to give out. Other two mainstays are probably soups and crackers. They seem to go a long way. Mm-hmm. So those are things that we are having a harder time finding. Feeding America is having a harder time coming across. The other thing would be canned meats, you know, like things like canned tuna, canned chicken, because that can go a long way in a casserole for a family. And so those are things that we really could benefit from at this point, whether it's for our backpack program, our meal program, or our food pantry.
Most have seen the Alice report that was released recently, or maybe you were a part of United We Can over at the Rafters Ballpark with the United Way. Yeah. These events we see in town and we know about them, and we know that this is a concern in our area. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, not to get on a soapbox or anything, but I get on soapboxes from time to time. This is one of those things that we can help. We can do something on. You don't have to be a millionaire to be able to do something like this. You don't have to be some great philanthropist.
Right.
You can be a part of this. You're at the grocery store. You're able to grab an extra can. You're able to grab extra thing. Donating that's one of the greatest investments you can make in your community.
Exactly.
You have no idea. Some of those toiletries that you were mentioning there, somebody is able to use those before a job interview. Mm-hmm. They get a job.
Oh, yes.
They're able to pay taxes, put back into their community. I mean, if I got to reach you on money, I'll reach you on taxes. Whatever it takes, just please be a part of this and help out.
Exactly.
We greatly appreciate you working with our good friends at Focus.
Yes.
And love this combination with you guys in Focus. This is really cool. I love when we see these things joining forces. It makes our community that much stronger.
Exactly.
And Mary, before I let you go, we will get information on how people can find out more about Focus.
Oh, sure.
So just to give you a heads up that I will be bugging you again.
Okay.
Sally, I wanted to get to this workshop that is going to be going on with this great event.
Absolutely. At 4 o'clock that day, we have a Realize Your Dream workshop, which is something that focuses on kids ages 7 to 14. It's a free workshop, but they do need to register ahead of time through Kids from Wisconsin. So if they go to kidsfromwisconsin.org and look for events, they can register for this. Right now, we have about a dozen people registered, but we've also approached local dance studios, the Boys and Girls Club, some of the schools, and different programs, summer programs, throughout the city. So we're hoping that the numbers pick up and people take advantage of it.
Have you tried going door to door to parents going stir crazy? Have you tried? No.
You know what's been really positive, though? Grandparents buying tickets to the show. I've got some flyers sitting out, and they're like, wow, I want my grandkid to go to this. So
yeah,
that's been good.
This is a very good grandparent event, I would think. You know, there's nobody that can't enjoy this event, but especially grandparents are going to enjoy this one.
So the workshop is actually divided up into two parts. Mm-hmm. One of it is for band students, and they can actually jam with the band, They go through some things with them. They learn about technology a little bit too, so Eric's area.
Nice.
And then singer dancers, they kind of go through and teach them part of one of the dances that they do in the show, so they get to kind of try it out themselves and see what it's like to actually perform.
Are there any things that people should know before going to register? Are there any requirements or anything?
Just 7 to 14, and then you can plan on being at the PAC for about an hour from 4 to 5.
That's 7 to 14, you guys. I mean, no love for 40-year-olds. None.
I'll let you in if you want to come.
Those kids would run laps around me. It would kill my confidence. It would this is a free event, too, keeping that in mind. All you got to do is make sure to register, everybody.
Absolutely.
It's one of the, while we love these events, and the events themselves are wonderful, it speaks to the work that you and the PAC do, Sally, the Arts Council, the PAC, that everybody does in this community, really, to bring these events in. Okay, kids from Wisconsin, that's great on its own. How can we make it even better? And you incorporate the Realize Your Dream program or workshop. You have Focus a part of this. I admire the not settling and seeing how we can make things better and all that. And you guys do such a great job at this. Eric, Sally mentioned that you're going to be a part of this workshop. Can you tease for us a little bit of what some of the things you and the kids are going to go over?
Well, usually the workshop is, you know, kind of headed by one of their technology team because it is their Realize the Dream workshop. But they bring them to the audio console. They bring them to the lighting console. They show them kind of backstage and kind of the setup back there. They explain a few things. There's any number of things that you could talk about in the moment with kids. Kid says, what's this? Well, okay. And then you talk about that for a little while. So it's kind of just an open-ended, here is our equipment. This is what we use. This is kind of how it works. And this is how it's being applied in this show today. And, I think that exposure is really great because there are jobs in this, line of work across the nation, I know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And, our industry is often starving for young, talented technical people.
Yes.
It spans further than just a performing art. It's sports entertainment. It's, your local music festival. It's, anything. Firemen's picnics. There's all sorts of audio, video, lighting type things going on, even aside from like commercial installs. And, it's all interconnected. And the convergence of audiovisual information technology, they've all come together. And so, learning these fundamentals and being exposed, especially at a critical age of 7 to 14, I think is really important to plant that seed and to let you know that some of these things exist out there for you if you want it. And I think that's what maybe is the most important thing about some of these workshops is, just kind of planting that seed of what might be possible.
I think for parents and even for kids, one of the things that the dream, when you're thinking of your dream jobs and stuff is, work. Is there going to be work available? Is there going to be stuff? This is one of those industries that is always looking for people. It's a great point to make. And I think of whenever I'm at FRM Fest and I see that there's somebody up there working stuff, and it's somebody usually who I haven't seen before or something, that they do such good work and doing so much in the last moment. And it just seems like such an exciting field to be in, too.
And that's one small music festival in Wisconsin Rapids. Right. Extrapolate that now over the state and the nation and the world, and you can start to see just the amount of potential that's out there for people who want to work in live entertainment productions. And again, it's not based on theater. It's not based on, it's all of these sorts of things. It's television. It's movies. It's all interconnected. And so the opportunity exists to be creative and do technical work and make a living doing so.
We don't always get a chance to do this, but to put you on there for a second, Eric, was that how it was for you at a young age? Did something happen for you that got you into this field, or did it just happen by organically?
I just had a real love for music, and I really loved the live performance kind of aspect of it. And I was always just kind of a gearhead too, and at a young age, like 12 or 13, I was collecting home theater equipment, and you know, I had a lot of car stereo stuff purchased before I even had a car, and it was hooked up in my room. So I was dabbling with this stuff a long time, and then I had some friends who were, you know, we were into collecting and downloading music. I'm sorry to admit that, but you know, there was a time when, you know, Napster and BearShare and, you know, all of these other peer-to-peer sharing sites existed, and we were downloading songs and we were listening to music and we were sharing stuff, and it just really propelled me. And then I got turned on to a couple, you know, the Grateful Dead, for example, who really took live music and performance to a whole new level with what they did and what they were experimenting with and mm-hmm. sharing music with people and putting it out there. Like, mm-hmm. it's live, it's out there, it's for you to have, it to record, to share, or whatever. And I really kind of caught on to that, and I really thought that live music was like where I needed to be. And I was always messing with how does this sound, and then I got into like mixing music and mixing bands and listening to different types of music and how those blends and mixes were done. And so it was really just this whole continuation of like I was really interested in this, and I got into the gear, and I had kind of the right people in my life who kind of, I won't say showed me the way, but were at least influencing me, like, to, you know, to have, and I was DJing, you know, eighth grade dances and all sorts of things, so it was just part of my life.
Really appreciate you sharing that. If you're a parent out there and you notice these things in your kid and you see that, sometimes the kid doesn't always see the path. Sometimes it's the parent that helps them with that. I was 7 and knew I wanted to be an actor, but it was my mom that told me I'd be good at radio. I wouldn't even be in this chair if it wasn't for my mother. She was the one that told me, that convinced me that I could do something like this. And it still took years before I actually believed it. But I wouldn't have even auditioned. I wouldn't have even thrown in a resume without that. Sometimes it's the parent that can kind of help a kid see that vision and see maybe some of the things we're too close to. I appreciate you sharing that.
Well, I think too, you know, my parents also stayed out of the way.
Yeah.
And they just kind of were like, you know, he kind of knows what he wants to do, and we're going to trust that he knows, and his path is kind of, you know, destiny as it would be, perhaps.
It's a tough thing to balance, but it is something that, you know, most parents, I think, know when to back off and when, you know.
But there was also this talk like, oh, you're never going to make money in the arts. You're never going to do, you know, you're never going to make a living doing this or that. And it was kind of like, well, you know, I don't believe that. Watch me.
Yeah.
And, you know, knowing, and the grandparents who say, well, you know, you can't do this or you can't do that, the world has totally changed.
Yeah.
People are making monies in new ways that they've never even dreamed possible. And, you know, the amount of industry that's being created, it's just mind-boggling.
I mean,
and it's so vast. And there's no limit to what you can do when you really step back and realize, like, if I make a small investment in, say, equipment or some of these things, I'm willing to work for it, it is likely going to pay off. That's the way things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And businesses wouldn't exist on all of your street corners around if they weren't being successful doing business.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's great.
And certainly some fail. But if you have a shop or if you are dedicated to what you are doing, it will most likely be successful.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of perseverance that goes into a lot of that, and I admire so much in people. I tell my students all the time, have a day job, make sure that you can have something that keeps the lights on, but you don't have to follow, you can chase that dream, you can chase it your whole life. I'll be 90 and still fighting for that big break. I ain't gonna stop, and I'm gonna keep the lights on, but you know, you can go ahead and chase that dream down. It's a good note. Sally, I wanted to let people know this is the first show of the new season. This is kind of kicking off the season, right? Can we preview the season ahead a little bit?
We certainly can.
Okay.
We're excited about that.
Yeah.
The actual season starts in October.
True.
We just got our trifold brochures.
Yeah.
They're in the mail, so people should be getting them soon here. But we start in October with Sean Johnson and the Big Band Experience. November, we have the Gatlin Brothers.
Ooh.
These are the Gatlin
yes.
Brothers. I keep getting questions wondering if it's a tribute, but no.
No, the classic guys. 65 years they've been doing this.
Yep.
That is amazing.
Yep.
That is really cool. I can understand why people might be uncertain. Like, you sure it's still them? Like, oh, it's them. It's
yeah.
them. I actually watched just a little bit of their recent live stuff.
Uh-huh.
Sound the same. I don't know how they do this. They sound the same. They're amazing. Yeah. It's a really good band.
Yep, absolutely. And we're also trying something a little bit different with that one. We're going to have a limited seating dinner beforehand at Lake Air Supper Club. So limited tickets available, but keep that in mind as well. And
that's
you can buy the tickets
idea.
Through us.
That's
yes.
a fun idea. You're going to have dinner before the show anyway.
Absolutely.
That's nice. That's a good idea. I like that.
Then we have Terry Lee Goffey doing a Johnny Cash Christmas. That one's pretty popular from what I hear.
I mean, Sally, I'm not 100% if you know this or not, but I'm a big Johnny Cash guy. Did you know that? Is that why you said this?
Not.
Did you do this for
no,
me, Sally? Okay.
No.
This is very cool. I've heard.
But please come.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes. This is a, I love you. You always have your seasonal show in the December area, and nothing but greats that we've had. This is a little different, but yet still hitting that same Christmas spirit.
Correct.
That's fun. I like that.
Yep.
January kicks off the new year with something big.
Yep. I Am King, the Michael Jackson Experience. And that one is shaping up to be pretty popular, too. Then in...
Oh, I was just going to mention the young man that plays Michael in this, how amazing he is. It's
really
incredible.
Is. Yep.
Whenever you're seeing an artist impersonating another artist, the actor in me comes out, and so I'm pulled to it even not if it's not musically. And every time, I'm blown away by these people.
Yeah.
It's incredible how they are able to do such a respectful homage to these artists while not necessarily trying to just completely be them. I don't know how they walk that line, but they do such a great job. And this young man does an amazing job with this.
He does.
I encourage you to get your tickets and check out that one. Yeah. And things just keep rolling after January as we go into February.
And February, we have Uptown, which is, it's quite interesting. It's Motown and soul and super high energy. These guys are fantastic. I saw them live.
Growing up, big fan of all the soul bands, the Four Tops, the Temptations, the Spinners, some of my favorite music of all time. And I love R&B now, but I feel like we lost so much of that, not just the harmonies, but the dance moves.
Exactly.
The dance moves are gone.
They've
Nobody's
got
doing
awesome
that
choreography
anymore.
With it. So.
And I'm glad you mentioned that about their energy. That was the first thing that stood out to me. They sound really good together, but that energy that they bring, I feel like it's a bit of a throwback.
Really?
Mm. More coming up in March.
Oh, yeah. We have a couple in March. How Sweet It Is, which is a James Taylor tribute. Steve Leslie not only looks like James Taylor, he sounds exactly like him.
That blew me away.
Well.
I was expecting him to look just like James Taylor, too. That really threw me. That was funny. He does sound really good.
He does. And then March 10th, we have a busy weekend that weekend, Thursday, and then the following Sunday, we're doing a Sunday afternoon show, which is Always Olivia, which is obviously an Olivia Newton-John tribute. And with that, we're doing something a little bit more community-minded as well. We're doing a fundraiser for the Aspirus Women's Cancer Patient Fund, where every adult ticket that's purchased, $3 will be going into that fund. Plus, I have a separate link already on our ticketing system where you can donate additional dollars if you like to. And then we will give them a check for whatever we raise for that. And what prompted that was the lady who plays Olivia donates 10% of her performer's fee to the Olivia Newton-John Cancer Fund.
Yeah.
So we decided to kind of hop on that and take care of some locals, too.
Good on you. That's a beautiful thing, Sally. That's awesome. Very cool.
And then we wrap up the season April 4th with a Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis tribute show. Oh. And if you know Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, which Eric was a little, who's that? But... they are fantastic.
Yeah, comedy personified. Essentially, almost any comedy you enjoy, comedy acts you enjoy, we're all influenced by those two.
Right.
I don't care who you're talking about, what the artist is, it all started with those guys and them changing comedy in so many different ways. I don't think people even understood sarcasm completely until those two started really doing it, you know? These guys also do a nice job with that. Not only the paying homage to those bits and those artists, but their timing and their look is so, again, right on point with the time and the era. You almost, it's a time machine almost. You're brought back to that time.
Yep.
Sally, as we're wrapping up, I also wanted to make sure that we mention, if you and Eric, anybody looking for volunteers, if you are, to always reach out to you guys and how they can find out more. How can they do that?
Right. Please call me. We do have some opportunities to help with the Focus Food Drive. And they could give me a call at the Arts Council, 715-424-2787. If it's outside of office hours, I will give them a call back.
Eric, is there a way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, you could call me at the PAC office. The number there is 715-424-6763, and I'd be happy to talk to you.
Thank you. And Mary, how can people get a hold of you in Focus? How can they find out more?
Well, our Focus office is on Grand Avenue, and it's open all day. You can stop in at any time and talk to any of us. We're happy to always open to getting new volunteers, whatever age. We have even kids that are helping out push carts, and we also have kids who are helping serve and pour water. So anytime during the day, you can stop in and just let us know that you're willing to help out, and we'd love it.
Appreciate the time, you three. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk again real soon.
Sounds good.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.